Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 4th of September, Anno Domini 2010, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, nothing to lose.
And maybe even some stuff that we can care about.
Stuff that you...
Never got to that one story last week. I don't know if you still have it. About the guy shooting his computer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't have it with me here.
Leading credence to the fact that, you know, when you party and drink, it can cause people to do stupid things.
You think? Uh-oh. Google's got some cool thing on their homepage now. Oh, how cool is that? Sorry. Okay. Let's start with the news. For those of you who've been living under a rock all week, Apple introduced a whole bunch of new iPods. The latest batch of iPods, unveiled by Apple earlier this week, are about to begin shipping. And this latest generation brings some pretty big changes across the board. The sixth generation iPod Nano looks like something Dick Tracy would wear. The iPod Shuffle got its buttons back, and the iPod Touch is even closer to being an iPhone 4 without the phone. Sadly, the iPod Classic was excluded from the upgrade party, although it remains... begrudgingly, it seems, in the iPod lineup. The fourth generation iPod Touch comes in 8GB, 32GB, and 64GB capacities, priced at $229, $299, and $399, respectively. The sixth generation iPod Nano is $149 for the 8GB model, $179 for the 16GB model. The camera is sadly gone, and you can't watch video on the Nano anymore, but the Nano has an FM radio. And is available in which means you can't see this show, listen to this show either. And is available of all the colors of the Apple rainbow, which apparently features graphite, silver, pink, blue, yellow, green, and red as part of the Project Red project. There's just one capacity of the new fourth generation iPod Shuffle. That's 2GB and one price tag, $49. But it does come in pink, blue, green, yellow, and silver. At Wednesday's press conference. It's a press event. Steve Jobs said the new models, would be available next week. For what it's worth, Apple's online store lists the ship dates for the assorted iPod models as 1 week. The iPod Touch has an omnidirectional microphone on the back next to the camera. The speaker is on the bottom next to the dock connector port. As a result, you won't be able to hold and speak into a new iPod Touch like a traditional phone. But as with the previous iPod Touch model, you can plug a pair of headphones with a built-in mic and place phone over Wi-Fi calls with an app such as Skype. And because the iPod Touch now has both a built-in mic and a speaker, it's possible that you'll be able to use a voice app to make speakerphone calls that don't require a headset. The iPod Touch is closing in on an iPhone without a phone. It gained a Retina display, the microphone, two cameras, one in front, which is for FaceTime, and one on the back. It has no camera flash, no GPS chip, but it does have a gyroscope. Apple seems hot on the iPod Touch as a gaming device. The new iPod Touch also has an upgrade to 802.11n wireless, as opposed to G, which was in the old one, but only the 2.4 gigahertz flavor, not the full 5 gigahertz version that Apple uses in their own wireless base station. Duh. The Touch now runs on an Apple-designed A4 chip, which the company says will improve performance and extend battery life to the tune of 40 hours of audio playback. See what I did there? The tune of 40 hours of audio playback.
Very good.
And 7 hours of video watching. And that leads us to our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And the poll of the week is the new Apple iPods. And your choices are insanely great, not compelling, meh, and I'll stick with my Walkman and get off my lawn. So far, we've got 46 votes in, and meh is ahead. Right behind is I'll stick with my Walkman and get off my lawn, followed by not compelling. And only 5 of you think it's insanely great. Those of you who have drunk the Kool-Aid, well, good for you. And of course, we know when you are done with a question, with
picking something in a poll, you've got a lot more to say. I know you do. So if you look at the little yellow box underneath the poll, if you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you'll be able to put in your opinion. And the question, of course, what do you think of the iPod announcement? Please keep it clean. And that's our question to you today. What do you think of the iPod announcement? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I got to go back to, excuse me, to that one story, though. Like I said, last week, you were sitting there, or put it in there. And
yeah, we didn't get to it, but yeah.
What it is, folks, is, you know, it just leads credence to the fact that drinking and trying to do stuff can lead to very stupid things.
Yeah.
And this gentleman happened to be out at a holiday party, I think it was, or celebration. And was very frustrated at work. And he decided to come back to work and take out his frustration.
On the server.
On the server.
$100,000 server.
Pulls out a gun.
Which is not a lot of server these days, frankly.
No, it's not. But still in all, it was for that company and took his frustration and anger out of shooting the heck out of the thing.
But my favorite part is the drunk logic that followed it. When the police came to him and said, someone shut up the server and they seem to have used your gun to do it, he said, oh, yes, my gun was stolen.
Hey, you know.
Why didn't you report it? Well, I didn't notice it. And did they also steal your ID card? No, why? Because you clocked into the building. You also told a dozen people at the party you were going to go do this. So we kind of think it might be you.
But, you know, innocent until proven guilty.
Exactly. But you're a person of interest. You're a suspect in the case.
Yeah, you're the only nimwit.
Yeah, right.
Brought a gun in that matches that caliber. Kind of narrowing it down, aren't we?
Yeah, well, if you've ever watched NCIS, you know Abby Schutto's in the back room matching ballistics and matching the rifling on the bullets.
Yeah.
And she's got you.
I love that program.
That's a great show. It's a great show. All the characters are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Even Sean, what's his last name? The guy who plays Tim, the Proby.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, Donald Belisario is the guy who produces the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim is his son-in-law.
I still like Ziva.
So who doesn't like Ziva?
Ziva and Abby. Abby
Cody
with
and Pablo, yeah.
Abby Cody with Pratt, that, yeah. With that cow of hers.
It's a hippo.
A hippo, rather.
It's a farting hippo.
Farting hippo.
Do you know you can buy the farting hippo?
Get
oh
out.
Yes, you can.
Get out.
Oh yes, you can.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Ooh, this could be interesting.
Yep. So yeah, it's and even so, Sean, I can't think of his last name at the moment, but he's very, very good in the role. First, I thought, you know, well, here's nepotism. This guy's going to stink. But he's very good, actually. He's very, very good.
You know, that could be a lot of fun at a party.
I don't know what kind of parties you go to.
No, I just have it sitting around at the house and you happen to lean up against
yep,
it.
Yep, yep, yep.
Or have somebody else lean up against it and you go, no, it wasn't me. No. Uh-huh, sure, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure, blame it on, that stuffed animal?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because it's the hippo that farted, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could have a... Oh, this could get dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can buy it on the... I forget what station they're on. I don't remember. CBS, NBC, whatever.
I believe it's Channel 8.
Okay, whatever.
I think that's...
And at that website, you know, you can go to the store for that.
Well, they were saying even her tattoos, because Abby, you know, has that one spider tattoo up. That all has to be. They did an interview with her.
Yeah,
and quite a religious person.
Yes, she is very,
very religious person, and I guess it takes like an hour and a half just to get all those tattoos. She's also got the cross on her back
and the angel and the devil stick figures and all that other stuff. Yeah, yeah. What do you think? We only do computers here? If you want to call up and talk about the fall lineup any of the stations.
Please do. Give us a call at 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and we will actually take computer questions because, matter of fact, you know what?
No, what?
We should have. I don't have it on the board here. It's a happy birthday song because today is actually our birthday.
Today is our birthday. September 4th is the day that Soundbites originally began in 1989.
Yep. We have been now on the air 21 years.
And feeling every day of it. Happily.
Yes.
Feeling every day of it happily.
This
is the month of birthdays. All of us
are
September babies.
Yep.
All you, me, Steve, and the show.
Mm-hmm.
Our September babies. It's pretty cool, actually. We started Labor Day weekend 21 years ago.
And going for 22. Oh, we should make a...
Hurtling headlong into our 22nd year on the air.
Mm-hmm. We're doing a road trip next week.
We are on a road trip next week.
We should let our listeners know that.
We are going to be at Lightspeed Computers, and we're going to do the show live from there. So I can't wait, because that should be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Folks at Lightspeed, people, real good people.
For you folks, since we don't have the camera up, because Steve's not here, but Phil Dodd is kind of shadowing me.
Phil.
That seems weird, because I'm a rookie here at this station compared to Phil. And
Everybody's a rookie at every station compared to Phil. Sorry, Phil.
And he's shadowing me.
Right.
That's weird, because I still remember back just when I first started here, and then the panic that I went into, and the couple of times.
You were funny. You missed, Phil, the best show, and our listeners, I don't think we had the camera at that point. Our listeners missed the best show on earth. Dave, I honestly thought, was going to blow a blood vessel those first few weeks, jumping from thing to thing, trying to figure out what's going on. He did have Rob behind him who had to step in a couple of times, but Dave got there and it all worked out, and it was pretty cool.
Blood pressure was definitely up.
If you're going to shadow Dave, don't forget, he doesn't remember. Dave's old now, and he doesn't remember to ask for the city. But you should remember, Phil, to ask for the city. Our next caller is Walter. Where are you calling from, Walter? You want to put Walter up on the thing so we can hear him? Walter, you there?
Yes, I am.
Now you know who controls the board. You can sit there and make comments, but remember who controls the board.
Okay, Walter, apparently we are on the next handbasket, and you know where it's going, so please join us. Where are you calling from?
Greece, New York.
And what can we do for you?
I have an older computer that we use as a spare, and we run Ubuntu 8.04, the long-term service model.
Uh-huh.
And the computer just this Wednesday started freezing up. What happened was that I was downloading updates for Ubuntu, and when it was installing it froze. Wouldn't move the cursor, couldn't move the mouse, nothing changed, but you would still have the little rotating icon showing that it was trying to install the programs, but it wasn't doing anything. So I had to shut it down and resumed again, got it starting again through the console, but it froze up again. And I tried it the third time, and even this time then, I had turned off the monitor, and when I went back, turned the monitor on, it was black. So I had to turn it off again. Well, it finally downloaded. The problem is that I ran Clonezilla to back up the hard drive,
right,
that I had it, and it froze on there, and I'm running in RAM. So it froze there. It just stopped after about an hour.
Then you've got something wrong with that system. It's overheating.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was wondering if it was a motherboard issue.
Yeah,
it is. You might want to take a look at it if you pull the side off of it. See, the most obvious sign is if you look at any of those capacitors on the side of the motherboard.
Yeah.
See if any of them are bulging.
Okay.
You might have a little.
I see a lot of that.
Yeah. You might have a little better luck today because it's a lot cooler.
Right.
If you don't have air conditioning and it's not cranked. So my suggestion would be to open a couple of windows, put a couple of fans on it, take the side off the case and see if it'll upgrade, or see if you can Clonezilla can make that backup for you. But the reality is you're probably looking at something new. The other good news is that what Walter is talking about with the LTS update, it's long-term support, and that means that they support it online, whatever. You can buy, of course, phone service and everything else for 3 years. And the version that's currently out, 10.04, Lucid Links, is also an LTS release. So when you get your new system, put 10.04 on it, and it'll be good for 3 years.
Yeah, that's why I was doing it, because I wanted to make sure I had all the security updates and then move up to the upgrade to 10.04.
Right.
But as I say, I may have a problem, because I was wondering if even the CPU might be failing on it, because as I say, it's an older machine. So
yeah, it clearly is not well.
Yeah, and I tried even the MEM test, and even that froze up on it, too.
Yeah, and the MEM test does nothing. I mean, it exercises the RAM pretty good, but it doesn't really exercise the processor tremendously.
Doesn't do squat.
So clearly the machine is simply overheating. Now, again, as I say, you might have better luck today because it's so cool out.
Yeah.
Particularly if you open up a couple windows, put a couple of fans on it. But the reality is, in the long term, you're way better off. Luckily, of course, because you listen to this show, you've been making regular backups of your data.
Oh, double. Yeah, we've got it on the Clonezilla for the whole image, as well as my wife goes ahead and does the home for each of the users.
Excellent.
Whoa, good
excellent.
For her.
Yeah, so we're ready.
All righty, excellent. So go out and handle it, and you'll be on your way.
Yeah, okay.
But let us know. I'm just curious, because I kind of got a feeling when you take a look at it, you might see maybe some of the capacitors. Because I said I had at least four machines in this week.
Well, particularly in the heat we've had this week, if people don't have air conditioning or don't crank it up enough for the computers, particularly people who have a shade open, and so the sun beats down on it all day, you can hit a couple of hundred degrees inside that case. Not good.
Yep. Well, thank you, Walter.
Thank you.
Matter of fact, we got to take a short break, but when we come back, though, I've got an interesting story.
All right. I can't. Is it Uncle Dave? No, this is just a little story. Excellent. It's different kind of story hour with Uncle Dave. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco. Phil Dodd is sitting here looking either depressed or confused or something. We are Soundbites, the longest running computer show in the known universe, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. You know, we had that call from Walter, and that inspired me for our next. You have your story first.
Oh, yeah. Let me first.
Oh, let's
well, you know, you're talking about different things, you know, going on. I mean, the capacitors and everything else. I had a machine come in, and the person happened to say, well, you know, it's heating up, and, you know, it all of a sudden sporadically would, boom, shut off. Okay. So we'll take a look at it. So yesterday I put it on the bench, pulled the side on it, and I'm looking at it, and first thing off, I'm hearing this click, 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 click. All right, it's a bad hard drive. I know that. Luckily, it's his second hard drive. So I unhooked the OneDrive and started booting up. And it's booting up pretty good. Meanwhile, I'm staring at the inside of it just to look at the capacitors and everything else. And I go to install one program. Shuts off on me. What? So I turned it back on, got it back up and running. Then I'm looking at the CPU. And I'm seeing these wires tied around one side. I'm thinking, should this be the fans going? That's no problem. I see everything else. That's going okay. What the heck is this wire? So while it's on, I'm sitting there and I go to grab the whole housing for the CPU and the fan there.
Right.
And I could just about have it in my hand.
Uh-oh.
For you folks that don't know, the CPU, you know, is mounted onto the, you know, sits into a socket on the motherboard. On top of that is usually a heavily clamped down, because it has this thermal paste underneath it between that and the fan unit to keep it cool. if it doesn't make good contact and secure contact, it can burn out the chip. And evidently, this individual cracked the clamp that holds down the mounting bracket to hold down the CPU fan. So thus, trying to do it with just a little wire holding it, well, it was close, isn't close enough. It just won't do it. And that's why it was overheating. So once I took off this clamp, put in a new mounting bracket, because I happen to have a couple. I scrounged them off all the machines.
Sure.
Put it in there, clamped down the machine. Amazing things happen.
Amazing things happen.
It didn't restart. Didn't shut down. Thing is running. I'm running my scans. Already removed tons of Trojans and some bloatware.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's nothing worse. Doggone it. There's nothing worse than bloatware. I don't care what anybody says.
It is?
It's just, it's horrible. Wait, yeah, bloatware, of course, folks, yep, is when you get a new machine and it comes with all this test software and 90-day software.
And games. And
games, test of.
Oh, the best one is that stupid, and it gets me ticked off, is that 60-day or 90-day Microsoft Office.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then,
yeah,
you know, because I had a client sit there and complain to me, well, my office isn't working. Remember, I had a client come in, and we cleaned up the machine. It took a week to get to the machine. We were a little backed up. So when I got it back to her, she says, well, my office isn't working. We didn't do anything to it. We just cleaned off the stuff. Well, it was working before, so I said, bring it back in. And I says, where's your CD? She says, well, it's the icon on the desktop. You can reinstall it. I looked at it, and it was a 90-day trial.
Mm-hmm.
I says, no, you got to register. No, it was working before. What'd you do? You broke it. I said, no, the time ran out. Well, set it back. I still want some more time on it. I said, you can't. It's it's a trial version. Well, I don't want to pay for that. And I need to get some other stuff done. I said, go to Open Office.
Yep.
She did. After she calmed down and tried it out, called me back and said, thank you. I said, no problem. Saved her about $400. But, you know, I mean, she was riding up one side of me and down the other because I broke her machine because I had it there so long, and her freeware ran out. So it was my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see that a lot. People are always complaining about that. It used to work, now it doesn't, because it was a 90-day trial. No, it wasn't. Yeah, it kind of was. And in fact, when you bring it up, you get an error message that says your 90-day trial is expired.
Mm-hmm.
That's a clue. That's a clue that you have a 90-day trial and it's expired.
Or the other ones where they got to register it and then it stops working. Well, they showed you had 15 days to try it out. But I didn't use it 15 days. Well, I can't help it. I have to have your computer on to, run things. And, yeah, it knows how many days that software has been on the machine. Oh, well, you know, can't help that.
Yeah.
Sits on the bench for 3-4 days, you know, if I'm doing some stuff or that. Or, you know, at least a couple days, not usually 3 or 4, but usually a couple days. That's a couple days, yes, that will tick off as far as the time frame for that particular software.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, folks. And, you know, what can I say?
I have two more stories. Walter has inspired me to read this story and then talk about something that happened last night in our Second Life thing. But I'll start with the story, with the news story. Toshiba is the latest laptop vendor to fall victim to overheating technology. The recall of approximately 41,000 laptops resulting from more than 100 reports of melting laptop cases and minor injuries. Over 100 reports, that's a lot of reports. Follow similar issues out of 41,000 laptops, that's a lot. Following similar issues and recalls from other laptop manufacturers, it illustrates the problem with cramming so much processing power into such a small space. According to a U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission bulletin, Toshiba is recalling Satellite T135, Satellite T135D, and Satellite Pro T130 notebook computers because the notebook computers can overheat at the notebook's plug-in to the AC power, posing a burn hazard to consumers. If this feels like deja vu, it's because it is. It's a relatively common occurrence these days for laptops. In a July issue, in July, Sony, in heaven, I apparently haven't had enough caffeine yet today. In July, Sony issued a recall of more than 500,000 VAIO laptops. The Sony recall was immediately followed by an HP recall of laptop batteries in May. HP recalled over 100,000 laptop batteries in all as a result of mounting reports that the batteries were overheating, rupturing, and posing a risk of injury to users. While quality control during the engineering and manufacturing processes at Toshiba, Sony, and HP is apparently lacking, the issue goes beyond the individual manufacturers and exemplifies problems associated with the demands placed on notebook computers. Heat is a fact of life with computers. A significant chunk of the cost of implementing and maintaining a data center is wrapped up in keeping the room at a tolerable temperature. Try turning off all of the computer equipment in your office or home and see how quickly the temperature drops. Processors run hot. Batteries produce a significant amount of heat. Power supplies produce a lot of heat. The engineering of the internal components on a laptop are critical to provide adequate airflow for the fan to do its job and expel the heat from the case, but that is increasingly difficult as manufacturers work to make smaller, thinner notebooks, cramming even more heat-generating components into a smaller space. Thankfully, Intel and AMD have developed new processor technologies that incorporate more functions onto a single chip. Combining the core processing and graphics processing onto one chip instead of two greatly reduces the power consumption and heat output for newer laptops. Our question to you, are you feeling the heat from your laptop? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And we should mention about the road, that we're going out on the road again.
We're going on the road. We're going to Lightspeed Computers next week. We're very excited. It's going to be a live show from Lightspeed Computers. Steve, Dave, and I will all be there. So will Rob Linton. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I can't wait.
I get a week off.
That's right. You don't have to do all this nonsense. But I got to tell you another story. It's right. It's Phil's
Bill
problem.
Gets to do it.
Phil's problem.
So that way Rob can't yell at me. Well, he can. He will.
He will anyway.
He will anyways because, well, he's always on our case, you and I, especially.
Yeah, exactly.
For Rob. Let's see. How should we put it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Very vocal.
Yeah, we are vocal.
On the mics.
We're exuberant,
yes.
Doggone it.
We are thrilled with what we do, and I mean, hey, we've been 21 years at doing this.
Exactly, right.
You know, so you got to get excited about it.
You gotta
I mean, you know,
excited.
We come in here and...
We are excited, doggone it.
Yeah, and if you got a computer question, we do answer those too. Give us a call, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. We'd love to hear your computer question. Or if anything else, just call in to say happy birthday to us, because it is our birthday.
Feel free to give us a call and tell us that.
I don't have any birthday music.
I can't believe that.
Almost.
I got to tell you what happened last night in Second Life.
Yeah,
though.
Go ahead.
Every Friday night we do Sound Bites in Second Life. You can get to it from our website or in all kinds of places. But here's the interesting things. One of our people, and I'm pretty sure it was Annoyed Quandary, had a laptop where the graphics card stopped working. He felt it was probably a cold solder joint, so he stuck it in the oven at 425 degrees for 15 minutes, and it cured it. Unbelievable. Now, we do not, let me repeat this, we do not recommend this as a standard technique. And it was an oven, not a microwave. We do not recommend this as a standard technique. But it worked for him. He had a dead laptop to begin with. There was no video. He assumed it was a cold solder joint because that's what it looked like. And because he took it apart and looked at it, and he knows enough to know what he's looking at on the graphics card. So he stuck it in the oven, 425 for 15 minutes. And now
it works.
Now it works. I have never heard of that as a repair technique in my life.
No, I mean,
we're certainly not recommending that anybody do it, but it's kind of amazing that it worked for him.
Because I've done the freezer, using the freezer for hard drives.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an old one that, you know... when you get one of these hard drives that it's going click, 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 or not acting right, we pop it out and throw it in the freezer for about a half hour to an hour.
Oh, Jack on the IRC chat tells me it was just the card, not the whole computer, which actually makes a lot of sense, actually. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That does. Because I was going to say the rest would start melting.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be we don't recommend that. All right, our next caller is Mike. Where are you calling?
Caledonia.
Thank you. Welcome,
hello,
Mike.
Hello.
What's your question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How you guys doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Very good. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I have a question about overclocking my computer. I upgraded the graphics card to an NVIDIA GeForce 2.0 gig video card. Mm-hmm. And I have, unfortunately, the processor I have is kind of small. It's a 1.7 gig dual core Pentium.
Yep.
And I do, you know, some online gaming, you know, actually a lot of online gaming. And I was wondering, a couple of guys I was talking to that play the same game, they have overclocked their computers. It seems like 50% say it's good, 50% say it's bad. I just wanted to get your views on it.
My opinion is no. I'm not a fan of overclocking. You're asking something to do twice as much than it was meant to do, and all you're doing is slowly killing the machine that much faster.
Yeah.
And again, that's my opinion.
Yeah, here's the deal with that. The way computer chips are manufactured, they make, let's start at 3 gigahertz, we'll call it, right?
Okay.
They make a bunch of 3 gigahertz chips, and they test them. Anything that fails at 3 gigahertz, they test at 2.5. If it passes that, it becomes a 2.5 mm-hmm. gigahertz chip. And you go all the way down through that, right? So you, and then when they're done with the quota, they don't test every one, of course. They randomly sample, right? So you may get a chip that could be overclocked. You could also get a chip that failed at a higher rate and is only working at the lower rate.
Okay.
So you've got a chance. Good luck.
Russian roulette.
It's Russian roulette. The other part of the problem is the entire rest of your motherboard is not designed to handle that higher speed, and we're going right back to heat again.
Right. Some of the guys that were for it, they all, you know, they would all say, you know, put a bigger cooling system in, put, big, you know, more fans, this other stuff, is fine and dandy, but...
You're still over-pushing the chip. Bottom line, I don't care how cold, you could get it down to sewer's icebox temperature, right. And it's still overdoing what it is meant to do.
Okay.
There was a great article about a couple of guys... in college, who took a 486 motherboard, froze it, overclocked it to 2 gigahertz, and played Halo for 15 minutes before the
thing
board
blew.
In the freezer burst
burned
into
up.
Flame.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can do it, but it's probably not a good idea. And the reality is the rest of the system is not designed to handle that either. Your best bet is to buy a system that's designed to handle the higher speed. In terms of heat, in terms of where the bottlenecks are, because you're even if you speed up the chip, you've still got slow RAM, you've still got
we've been
slow
saying that for years
to the cards. I mean,
right.
it's if you concentrate on one feature, you're really not going to do yourself a lot of good. For example, if you were to go out and buy a Volkswagen, right?
Uh-huh.
And put in some supercharged 16-barrel engine.
Right, yeah.
And not change the transmission, how far are you going to get?
Not very far.
That's
even,
my point.
Not even out of first gear.
Exactly. But that's my point, right? So you really have to pay attention to the entire system. And overclocking one thing may be fine for a couple of weeks, but you're not getting optimum performance, and you're going to kill the system that much faster. So don't do it.
Okay, thanks so much for your help and
sure.
your insight. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't have a problem if people want to overclock, great, but when it dies, don't call us. Oh, I overclocked my system and then it overheated and died. Well, yeah, it's exactly what's supposed to happen. Because we believe in something we call physics. And that's what happened. All right, our next caller is Martin from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Martin. What's your question?
Thanks. When I was a Windows user, I used to like card files. So now with Ubuntu, I thought I'd try Tomboy.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty cool, except I'm kind of a fanatic about backing things up, and I started looking for the data file, and I can't find it anywhere. The documentation says there's supposed to be a .tomboy directory in the home directory, and yep. I can't find it. Do you have any idea?
I do, but I'm not going to tell you, because we're going to take a break, so stay on the line. And we'll be stay on the line, Martin. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of Soundbites with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Don't forget, we're at Lightspeed Computers next week, and it is 40 minutes after the hour. And we're Soundbites on Member Supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, I love this music. This is my favorite break-in music. We have Martin. Martin from the city on the line. Are you still there, Martin?
Yeah, sure am.
All right, here's the deal. The old document, what version of, well, before I go any farther, what version of Ubuntu are you running?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. It's the latest one, I think.
All right, if it's the latest one, then they've moved where Tomboy keeps its files.
Okay.
And they are in your directory. So if you have Martin as your username, for example,
yeah.
Right? It's /home/Martin.
Yeah.
/.local. The dot means it's a hidden file. You don't normally see it.
Right.
So you have to use ls-a to see it.
Right.
So it's .local/share/tomboy.
Oh, okay.
You can also, by the way, back up all your notes on Ubuntu One. Once you set up Ubuntu One, you can synchronize your notes to there, and that can happen. You can do that with one click after that. But that's not important right now. That's where you keep the files. If you want to back them up on your own, that's the place to do it. /home/your username/.local/share/tomboy.
Okay, I'll look in there.
Yeah, and all the notes have weird names. They're all a series of, I think it's 183 hex digits followed by .note.
So the thing to do is just copy the entire contents of that Tomboy directory?
That'll do it.
Okay. And you know, while I was poking around, I also tried to log in as super user.
Yeah, root. Yeah.
And that seems to work a little differently with Linux than it did with Unix.
A little differently, yes. You really don't want to use root unless you're doing updates and things like that. Linux is really designed with the security of the system in mind. It's a very, very bad idea to do anything as root on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten. I thought maybe you needed to be root to see those hidden files. But
yeah,
then
no.
Found out that you don't, so that's okay.
Right. It's always better to use sudo rather than to log in as root.
Okay. Well, it didn't seem to like my password anyway, so.
Right, it won't, right.
Okay. All right, thanks a million.
All right, thank you.
Does that cause us to panic?
Yes, it probably should. Seems to be a fire alarm going off at the moment here in the building.
Wait a minute.
We don't know what we're supposed to do now.
Do we go down with the building?
I don't know. That's a lovely question. Luckily, Phil is here, and he's gone out to find out what the heck anyway. So we'll sit here until Phil comes in and says, get out. Putting our lives on the line for our listeners here on Soundbites. There's absolutely nobody else who would do something as great as that for you. And meanwhile, as the building goes up in flames around us, we're going to talk to Rich. From Irondequoit. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy birthday, and I am a firefighter, so we should be all set for right this minute as if something happens.
Excellent. Thank you. So you'll understand if we all say, well, bye-bye, Rich.
And yeah, and I want to stay.
Wait, yeah. Rich, where are you a fireman?
I'm a volunteer at Ridge Culver in Irondequoit.
Okay, yep.
And a paid firefighter out in Fishers.
Cool. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, on to my question.
I mean, you got to give guys like credit like that. They're, you know, where everybody else is running out, they're the only crazy ones that are running in.
Yeah.
Well,
you know that the crazy
fire
people.
Drills, I always raise my hand and ask if I can stay.
Yeah. Can I stay? Because this is what I do. That's a little, you're a little strange. I'll be honest with you, Rich. God love you, but you're a little odd. What's your question?
I just installed Windows 7 on my laptop.
Uh-huh.
And prior to that, I had XP or Vista, excuse me, Vista, or, I don't know, one of those two. And my videos, like playing YouTube, would play fine without a problem. Since I've installed Windows 7, I've updated my Windows or my drivers for my video card through NVIDIA and got the Windows 7 stuff. They seem to only play for like the first 3 minutes or 3 seconds. And then nothing else plays. And I could slide it along, and it would play for another 3 or 4 seconds, and that would be it.
How much memory do you have on this laptop?
I think there's about 3 to 4 gigs on it for,
wow,
for RAM.
Normally, this is I would say it's a driver issue, and I'm not entirely certain what else I can call it.
And updating, you know, going, I went to NVIDIA and got my card and everything else and found the driver to download for it and over and install it and everything, and that still didn't make a difference.
And what card do you have?
It's an NVIDIA 8400 MS or SM, something like that.
8400 MGS?
It's supposed to be one of the higher end cards.
The 8400 MGS?
Yes, that sounds correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could it have anything to do with, you know, maybe the processor not having the right drivers or something within that nature of it?
There are some interesting problems with the 8400 MGS, and they do seem to be, they seem at this point to be driver related, but it seems to not necessarily be. Is your laptop a Dell?
Yes, it is.
There you go. There you go. What's happening is, particularly on the XPS series,
okay,
like the M1530 and that ilk, you have to update the motherboard BIOS to fix the problem.
Okay.
So what you need to do at this point is I don't know if you need to talk to a Dell rep or just run it through yourself. You're a firefighter. You'll just take an axe to it if it doesn't work.
So okay.
What you need to do is update the motherboard BIOS, and probably your Dell rep can help you do that.
Okay. Is that something I can go and get on their support?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Now I have to find out what it is, or do you think by putting in that service tag and everything else, it would just send me in the right direction?
The theory is that it would send you in the right direction.
Okay.
And that is one of the nice things about Dell. Their hardware, I believe, has been spotty lately. But one of the nice things about their system is you put in your service number, whatever that number is, and it really shows you everything that should be upgraded on your system.
Okay.
And it's really kind of nice for that. But I'm seeing,
because I know it's old enough where maybe I don't have any support with them anymore,
yeah,
or anything like that. So I didn't know if that would make a difference, whether they would talk to me or not.
Right. But a lot of people are finding with the 8400 MGS series and the GT series as well, on Dell laptops, they really have to upgrade the BIOS on the motherboard, because there's a choke point in there that they fixed, but it's very complex, speed issue and buffer issue and everything else. But the reality is that you really need to deal with that.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're sending me in the right direction, so that should help.
Well, I'm sending you in a direction. And knowing you, you always go in the wrong direction anyway. We already talked about that.
Yeah, okay. Round the long way.
Exactly. Good luck.
All right, thanks
and
a lot,
let
guys.
Us know. Let us know if that solves the problem, will you? Because that's a little weird. But we're seeing that happen.
Yeah.
So what's our story here?
He's going to get back to us.
He's going to get back to us. Do you see flame?
Burn, baby, burn.
Exactly.
Burn, baby, burn.
Do we have somebody else calling in? Oh, no, that's the other thing going on.
Yeah. That's what was throwing me off because I thought I had one person on hold.
Right.
And it was that Rich, and I'm seeing a flashing light, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. No, four lines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing else was flashing.
This other thing.
Then I looked up, and then, oh, okay.
There's that weird little high-pitched stinking noise that's making me a little crazy, too.
All right, thanks, Phil.
Phil's going to go. Phil's taking the Rich approach. He's just going to.
Yeah, wait a minute. He's leaving us here.
He says, I'm going to go check the parking lot. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Stand out there. Oh, yeah, they're still in there.
Yeah, right.
Still doing the show after 21 years.
Yeah, right. Come fire or whatever. We're here.
Hey. We are dedicated to our listeners. And, hey, if you would, give us a call, 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And like I say, it's our birthday. And we are also doing a roadshow. And Rob also said to mention that we will be at Lightspeed Penfield.
Penfield.
We got to make sure because he does. They have two locations. And we will be at the Penfield location doing our show from 12 to 2.
We will be at the Penfield location, and it will be fun. I can't wait. It should be a fun day, and I'm looking forward to it personally. We love the folks at Lightspeed; they do great stuff, and we'll be at Lightspeed Penfield next week. Live show, live on the air, without a net. Assuming we survive today, of course, we're doing extreme radio today. Putting our lives on the line for our beloved listeners. Not everybody would do that, you know. Most people have brains. But here we are, sitting in the studio as the flames lick at our feet and the smoke takes us over. We're sitting here doing radio for you. So if we don't show up next week, then you know.
No, Rob, that was Rob, and he's saying that they're just testing out the system.
Don't tell them that. I'm trying to convince them that we're doing extreme radio to make.
Well, we are.
Darn
every
right
week we do that.
Darn right we do. All right, our next caller is Cindy from Queensbury.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy. Is that Queensbury, New York?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Up by Lake George.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
I'm calling on a different phone, which is why you didn't get the information that you usually get.
Yep, yep, yep. And what can we do for you today?
Well, I have Time Warner's all-in-one, includes the digital phone. And when I'm gone during the day, I like to turn off my wireless router so that people in the apartment don't have all day to try and hack into it.
There's a good thought.
But when I turn off my wireless router,
there
I
goes
lose
your phone.
My phone.
Yeah.
Is there any way I can simply disable my router and then when I get home, simply enable it again?
Yes and no, maybe. How's that one?
Double.
Do you have any computer that is hardwired into the router?
I believe my desktop is.
Okay. If your desktop is hardwired, then maybe. Because if you turn off the wireless and the only way you connect is wireless, you can't connect back to it to turn it back on again. So you need one hardwired system to do this. But at that point, you now want to log into the router itself, assuming Time Warner lets you. I am a Frontier DSL customer, so I don't know what the new routers from Time Warner do. The real old ones, and I beta tested Roadrunner when it first came to town. Excellent service, excellent product. But I don't in those days you could get into it, but the basic thing here is that if you can get to it and log into it, you should be presented with a set of features, the things that you can do, right? And one of them is to turn off the wireless and make it just a wired router.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you exactly where to go, but you can look around and see that. And if you can do that, then it will be off for that. And then when you come home, you go back on with your desktop, turn it back on again.
Yeah, so that means I'd have to turn on my desktop every afternoon. Because
yes.
Right now, it only goes on when I really need it for something.
But the
right.
simplest
right.
thing to
I love
do.
My laptop.
Well, or you can just plug the wire directly into your laptop, right? I mean.
Or the simplest thing to do is just make the password so obscure that nobody's right. going to be able to figure it out. Not, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, type of thing. You make it a
Amazing.
Really.
I have the same.
Yeah.
You just make it so
luggage.
Obscure that nobody in their right mind would even come close to figuring it out. And the chances of you getting hacked.
Well, it also depends on what version of security you're running. If it's just WEP. WEP, then it's not going to be secure no matter what you do anyway. But if you're using WPA2, then it's actually pretty doggone secure. Not great, but pretty doggone secure.
I have no idea.
Yeah, you might need to talk to your Time Warner rep and find out how that's set up. Of course, you can also look in Windows itself, which will tell you what it thinks it is, and it usually is right, because if you're connecting, it knows what it's doing.
Right.
Yeah. But I would right. also talk to my Time Warner rep and see what can be done about that.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Good
and
luck,
happy
Cindy.
Birthday, guys.
Thank you so much. Going to take a break. Back in just a
okay.
couple of minutes.
Bye.
With Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And yes, this is Dave here. Just a short announcement. I want to remind you folks that the tickets are on sale right now for the upcoming Wine and Jazz 2010, but presented by the Greece Community Broadcasting. This event is going to be on September the 16th from 6:30 to 9:30. And it's going to be at the Waterside Room at Pier 45, located at the Port of Rochester, the old ferry down in Charlotte. There's going to be a lot of wine, beer tasting. I mean, there's going to be some great jazz groups there, great food, desserts, chocolate tasting. I mean, last year's was phenomenal. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, you definitely want to look into it right now because they are on sale. And like I say, it's creeping up. It's only, 13 days away for a great evening of wine and jazz. So please check it out. And back to you, sir.
Oh, back to me already?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was taking a nap.
No, that's okay.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we're in the second hour of Soundbites. On this fourth day of September, Anno Domini 2010. Oh, good. The fire alarm has turned off. So either the fire alarm system has melted, or, in fact, we're all good. Yeah, and Phil's leaving the building just in case it's the former.
He's not taking it.
Coward. And it's back on again.
Sure, he leaves and we...
And it's back on again. All right, it's Extreme Radio here. Give us a call, 58, for as long as we can still answer the phone, give us a call.
As long as this board is still up and running, I can run it. What the heck?
Exactly. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Apple's music-focused social network Ping is only a few days old, and already the iTunes-based feature is drowning in scams and spams, according to security researchers. The scams are nothing too advanced at the moment, and there are no reports of clickjacking worms or other forms of aggressive malware, experts say. But if you're looking for links to bogus surveys promising free iPhones, iPads, and other assorted iDevices, then Ping in iTunes 10 is the social network for you. Security firm Sophos advises all users to upgrade to iTunes 10 despite the wide number of scams you're likely to come across. The new iTunes contains 13 vulnerability fixes for the WebKit components used to display the previous versions of the iTunes user interface, but Sophos warns that with the newest iTunes 10 come cautions. Take a look at various artist pages, and you'll see that. For example, singer-songwriter Katy Perry, it didn't take long to find spam links on her site promising free iPhones in the comment section of several posts. There were also complaints about spam under many of Perry's other posts, but to Apple's credit, it appears that many spamming accounts have already been suspended. Other artist pages had similar spamming problems. Even though comment spam is relatively common, it's not clear if Apple is doing more than just manually removing bogus links based on other computer user complaints. Sophos said Apple has not implemented any form of automated spam or URL filtering in Ping. If that's correct, Sophos' claim is a little surprising, considering that Apple appears to be filtering profile photos for content. While obscene or copyright-infringing photos may be a concern, a far more common problem for many blogs, websites, and larger social networks is comment filtering for spams and malicious URLs. Compounding the spam problem, Sophos says, is that you don't need to use a credit card or other form of identification to join Ping. If you find comment spam on Ping, you can report it by clicking on Report next to the Show More Comments and Hide Comments link on every post. So do you use Ping? Have you seen spam? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Just like Rich did from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Rich.
Hello.
You're back.
I'm back. You're back. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
A couple of minutes ago, you spoke to a gal who turns off her router because she doesn't want people hacking into it.
That was Cindy.
Cindy.
In Queensbury.
Yes.
Oh, wait, you're a different Rich from Irondequoit then.
I'm not the fireman.
Okay, then. All righty. You're Rich from Irondequoit.
Comment about the word encryption. I thought if a router was encrypted, then nobody could hack into it, or is that not true?
Well, it depends on the level of encryption. WEP encryption can be broken by a 7-year-old kid with a TI calculator.
Okay.
WPA2 has been broken by some very sophisticated professional techniques, but is still the safest you're going to get out in the real world.
I have to look into that. Yeah. A question regarding my own router in this case. I have a laptop on the first floor and the router's upstairs, and my laptop invariably will say the signal is fair, good, poor, etc. And the router upstairs is about 5 years old. Why would my laptop give me various levels of strength connecting to that router, do you think?
Radio is a mystery to everyone, including the people on the board here.
Yeah.
It could be stray signals in your area. For example, if you're running on the 2.4 gigahertz band, there's an amazing number of other devices that do that, including a lot of wireless phones.
Neighbors.
Not cell phones, but wireless phones.
Uh-huh,
they could
right.
be yours. They could be the neighbors, whatever. And those signals would then disrupt your signal. So while they're on the phone, your signal quality drops.
Got it.
In addition, it depends on where you are in the house, what's between you and the router. So, for example, if you're in the kitchen and the refrigerator is between you and the router, your signal will be terrible.
Big piece of metal.
Any big piece of metal.
Yeah, got it.
So okay. That's what causes the difference. People do what interests me is people do surveys in large buildings where they walk around with special meters that tell you how strong and how cool the signal really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really nice and really useful, but most people don't ever do that in their homes.
Got it.
I actually have done that in my home because I'm a complete geek, and I use my Droid to do it because my Droid has a program that tells me what the signal strength is, so I could map out my signal strength in my house and tell my wife exactly where she could put her laptop, and I mean that in the nicest way.
am I talking to Nick right now?
You are.
I read your column every Sunday, and man, I just admire the amount of knowledge you have. It's really just wonderful.
Well, God bless you, Rich. Thank you very much.
Sure. One more thing, and this is perhaps advice to some of the listeners. About a half hour ago, you were talking about computers that come pre-installed or come with disks for a 30, 60, 90-day
yep.
trial period.
Yep.
Bloatware.
Okay. Some of those offers are pre-installed. For instance, yep. McAfee comes mm-hmm. with pre-installed 30 days of security.
Yep.
Okay. I tried uninstalling that and could not do it, and come to find out you must actually install it or say yes to it first,
yep,
and
yep.
then you can delete it or uninstall
or
it.
Another,
is that not true in many cases?
In many cases, that is very true. You have yep. to actually install it, accept the installation, and then it gets put into the registry. Until then, it's not really fully in the registry and therefore can't really fully be removed.
Many people don't know that. I bet you're giving people now a lot of tips.
Well, there we go.
But here's the other thing, though, with that, Rich. Once you install it, don't use the Windows program to uninstall it. What you want to do is get a program called Revo, R-E-V-O.
That should really be the first program everybody installs
yes.
on their new computer.
Revo will do a complete job of uninstalling. In other words, it gets rid of all the folder entries on your hard drive. And the biggest plus, and this is why I like Revo so much, is it will also empty the registry. Now, see, normally when you say you install and uninstall a program, say like Norton or McAfee, 4 or 5 times.
Right.
And you use the Windows program to uninstall it. It keeps those 4 or 5 attempts in your registry. So, in other words, each time you do it, the registry just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And it slows down the machine. That can, you know, slow down performance. So that's why I tell folks, use Revo. Revo will also get rid of all the registry entries.
Is that free?
That is free.
Revo.com?
RevoUninstaller.com,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
Uninstaller, okay.
And that is, like Nick said, that should be one of the very first programs that any new computer or person, before they do anything, put that on your machine, and now you use that to uninstall it, and you'll keep your machine running a lot more efficient.
Can I indeed do that now, and it
yep.
will remove spurious stuff?
Yep, you can.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it does a really good job, even if it wasn't installed ahead of time. But if it got installed ahead of time, it's even better.
I ran the security Tango on this last night.
There you
that
go.
Would presume that the Tango would have removed everything, no?
Well, no, because, excuse me, Revo is one of the programs I talk about but don't demand yet. And,
yeah,
I should.
Because it's just an uninstaller program.
Right,
okay.
And that will clean up. You know, you see a lot of these make my PC faster television commercials.
Yeah, yeah,
essentially,
yeah.
It's just Revo uninstaller. When you remove the junk that's left in the registry, your system will be faster. The registry is the single stupidest mistake Microsoft made in XP, and that's saying a lot.
Okay.
That's saying a lot.
Can I ask one more question?
I don't know. Can you?
Callers?
No, yeah, go.
Yeah,
go
for it. We're generous today because it is our birthday.
Does my desktop upstairs. And I'm wondering why. I just had Time Warner out because I also subscribe to all three of their services. And he put an amplifier in the basement and played around with the equipment, but it's still freezing, and I'm at my wit's end as to why, because I need to shut it down and start all over again.
Does it freeze only when it's on the Internet?
Yes.
Okay, so, well, by that I mean you're actually doing something on the Internet.
Yes.
And how long have you waited?
You mean to reinstall?
To reboot
it?
Yeah.
Oh, a minute or two, and then I'm frustrated, and I reboot.
Yeah, a minute or two ought to be enough
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that should be.
Okay.
If it's happening on both machines, then, yeah,
yes.
It's got to be something. It's either your power in your house.
Uh-huh.
And it depends on where you live and how good your power is, and do you get brownouts and all the yada yada.
Yeah,
It's a hard
one to determine without seeing the
actual situation. But if it's happening on your laptop, then it's unlikely to be the power.
Okay.
Because laptops...
That would go back to the router.
Then I have to go back to the router.
Okay.
And think that there's something not kosher with the router.
Now, do you just have the one from Time Warner? Or do you have a Linksys?
No, it's a D-Link router I bought myself. It's about 5 years old, discontinued model.
Then, you know what? Look into a Linksys. Linksys,
say it again?
Get into a Linksys router hub.
Linksys.
You can get
That's
into
a
the
different company.
Yes, Linksys is a lot better. They're very simple to use, easy setup, and you can get into the G or the N. Maybe you can get into the N, and that's more powerful. And you might not have the issues of you know, getting disconnected.
Thank you, guys.
You're quite welcome.
There
have
you
a good
go.
Day, and again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's also a good choice for Cindy as well, by the way, getting a separate router. And then even if you can't get into the Time Warner router, to use your own router on a different channel and keep that one running instead, that really is not a bad idea at all. There's a lot of that that... It's just very weird when you get into the radio side of things. What I found most useful for me is I did not, no matter what your phone company is, I did not get the wireless router from the phone company. I got the standard wired router, which is less expensive to begin with. And then I bought a Linksys router, and now I've switched now to Netgear for various reasons. Netgear is also an excellent company. And I have a Netgear router that is wireless, and then I can control it myself. So I don't have to worry about whether or not I can get into their router or whatever. I know you're having a little trouble with that phone.
Well, I don't know whether it's the phone's me or...
They're overheating from the fire. You can hardly see through the smoke in this place right now. It's terrible. All right. Our next caller may or may not be Dan, who's either calling from Henri or Henrietta.
Henrietta.
I figured that. I put it down, and you still complain.
No, you did good.
Jeez Louise.
You did good. You did excellently well. Oh. You did phenomenally, magnificently well.
You're as bad as my old ex-wife. No, please.
Oh, now, them's fighting words, buddy.
Yeah, I'm right there.
I'm tossing you into the flames.
No, I'm turning him off.
Question. I'd like to start by saying happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
I have a question on a Palm Central smartphone.
Yeah.
I'm having problems syncing it with my Windows 7 laptop.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
Do you have a very sharp object or a very blunt object?
Very sharp.
Good. Take it to the Palm. Which model do you have?
The Central.
Yeah. And... What is the Centro? Are you running 64-bit or 32?
Yes.
You're running 64-bit.
Yes. It works on XP 32-bit, but I can't sync it with the Windows 7 64-bit.
Have you looked for any updated drivers?
Yes.
And are there any there?
Yes. I forgot what which one it was, but I did install that, and... That's when it was able to work on the XP, but it still won't sync on the...
Are you doing this through Bluetooth?
No.
Try it. Well, of course, you have to get a Bluetooth adapter for your computer unless you're on a laptop and it's got Bluetooth with it.
Okay.
But people are finding that it's easier to do through Bluetooth. It takes longer because Bluetooth is a slower protocol, but it works.
Okay.
So you are doing it via the cable?
Yes.
Yeah. I hate to ask you to spend money, but if you get a Bluetooth adapter for Windows 7,
okay.
Targus makes a real good one, not terribly expensive.
Okay.
It does run with Windows 7. You have to make sure it runs with 64-bit Windows 7. The Targus Bluetooth 2.0 adapter does, model number ACB10US, right?
Okay. Where can I get that?
100 places sell it. I know that Staples sells it. You know, a lot of places sell it. So
okay,
you can pick it up there. You may need to download an update from the Broadcom site because the Targus is actually a Broadcom modem. Bluetooth adapter. But generally, that's not necessary. So once you've installed the Bluetooth adapter, once it appears on your PC as a device, then you can. You can connect, and the probably your best bet, and I'm afraid Steve's not here, and I'm not keeping up with this very well today. I've got too much else to do. But write this down. You want to go to KB, which is short for knowledge base.
Okay.
.palm.com.
Okay.
/WPS/portal/KB/common, almost done, /article/49229_en.html.
Okay.
And that should lead you through. Otherwise, the only other thing you can do is to give them a call, give their support line a call, and ask them about that. But give that a shot and let us know what happens.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to take another break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are listening to the 21st anniversary show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, give us a call. It's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. We're outside the 585 area code, 1-800-790-0415, just like Tom did.
No, before we do
no,
that.
No, we're not going to talk about Tom. Tom, heck, hang on.
Tom can wait. We got something more important to announce. That
we do.
We're doing a road show.
Road trip!
Yay!
Next week.
Oops.
Yeah, not so loud. See,
sorry,
that was you this time. Next week, we will be at Lightspeed Computers in Penfield. Lightspeed Computers in Penfield, we will be doing a live on-site show. We're very excited about this. It's going to be plenty of fun, and I, for one, cannot wait.
Maybe Steve will even show us his stitches from his gallbladder coming up.
That'd be, it's not stitches, two little holes. It's arthroscopic surgery.
Still, we can see the scars. Maybe we can autograph it.
Ooh, Yeah, not for me. Thanks.
Oh.
Appreciate the offer, but it's not
all right,
my thing.
Then let's go to our caller.
All right. Instead, we'll go to Tom. Tom from Walcott. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
No fun.
Well, guys, definitely worth the wait.
Thank you.
I still want to sign his
stitch. I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
First one, I got a netbook I've had for, I don't know, a year or so. It runs XP. And my zone alarm is suddenly popping up Microsoft.net wants to go to the internet for an upgrade. I have no idea what it is or where it came from.
.net.
Any idea what that is?
Yeah,
that's part of Microsoft.
Yes, it is. Thanks for asking. Yes, we do.
Next caller.
.net is part of Microsoft's underlying framework for their entire operating system. As you may remember, Microsoft was very late to the internet. So now what they're trying to do is to really get internet related. So they've created this .net framework, and everything they run runs on that framework. So you really do want to let .net update itself.
Oh, okay. How come that doesn't come with the regular monthly visitor?
It should, and I don't know why it doesn't. But you're right.
Wait, are you on Service Pack 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
As long as you're there, because definitely need... Everybody should be on Service Pack 3 that's running XP, because 2 has got a lot, you know.
Yeah. And .NET is fairly delicate, so they often run out of band updates.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Okay. My second question, I have bought a new Dell Studio. My wife got one for work, and she liked it, so I bought one.
Sure.
For home. And it gets hot.
Yep, it
on
does.
The bottom, hers doesn't. We'll watch videos. Mine will get hot. Hers doesn't. If mine gets hot enough, I think it's causing a problem with the graphics card, because if I'm watching, I'll go to Hulu.com, watch a TV show or something.
Yep.
It'll stop halfway through. The audio will continue, but the
One of the little secrets of Dell is that two identical models don't have identical components in them.
That's for sure.
And they buy whatever cheap stuff is available at the moment, whenever they're
putting it. As it's coming down the assembly line, it can have different motherboards in it.
Yeah, it can have a lot of different everything in it. So I would suggest you, how new is this?
A couple months.
If it's still under warranty,
yes,
take it back. Send it
definitely
back and say it's burning your thighs. You don't want to sue them. You just want a model that doesn't burn.
Oh. Okay.
Don't wait. Yeah. Don't wait. Yeah. Do it now because the next one may do it too.
Right.
But, yeah, absolutely. Just because they're the same model doesn't mean they have anything like the same set of components inside.
Probably very different.
The case is guaranteed to be pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had great luck with Dell, so that I stuck with it, but I never get it.
Well, like,
right.
No,
I set it on my lap.
No, you know what?
It can be lean under it because it gets, you know, so hot.
Yeah, definitely it's under warranty.
Get
make
it in.
Them exchange it. Tell them you're worried about
causing a fire.
Causing a fire, and you don't want to have to sue them. They should replace it now. Seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah. We. If your netbook seems too hot, you definitely want to get it replaced. Particularly if it's under warranty. Do not screw around. Just get it done. Just get it replaced. That's probably your best bet right there. Anything else is just is probably contraindicated. All right, our next caller is Joe from Buffalo. Hiya, Joe. What do you know?
He was from Cheektowaga, and I figure Buffalo's either quick right out.
Oh, I'm trying to watch.
Anyhow, a suggestion for people that are worried about their wireless security, first off, and that is a lot of them, you can go in and disable broadcasting the SSID. So basically, people don't even know your wireless access point exists until you go and access it anyway.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to ask about is under Ubuntu Linux, how much luck have you had like mixing video hardware? What I'm thinking about is I'm in a building mood, and some of the main boards come with video integrated on it. They might have, say, ATI graphics, but I like NVIDIA boards. I want two displays anyway, so what are the chances of an ATI main board video playing nicely with an NVIDIA add-on card?
Yeah, well, NVIDIA is an excellent card, and they've got good compatibility, but you should do this. If you go to Ubuntu, hold on, give me a second. Let me actually do this to make sure I'm giving you the right place. I think it's ubuntuhcl.org. And yes, it is. It resends you to linuxhcl.org. HCL is for hardware compatibility list. And linuxhcl.org lists all the hardware, that Linux works with and how well it works.
Let me throw one wrench into this whole mix. All right, the minute you try to use both graphics, if you're trying to use the onboard and then the graphics card that you're putting in, usually the minute you go to AGB Express graphics card slot, that shuts off
right. The
onboard.
So I might want to consider getting a mainboard that doesn't have onboard video.
You can get onboard video.
It's hard to get one without onboard video these days.
Yeah, but what you want to do is get a graphics card that has a dual head, so you can still run two graphics cards.
Two monitors.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, normally the minute you plug in, you know, like Nick's saying, all of them have built-in. You know, a lot of them have built-in graphics, and the minute though you put in a PCI Express card, boom, that shuts off automatically the onboard.
I have at work a giant 37-inch monitor running huge resolution, all under Linux, on a dual-head NVIDIA card. I don't even use the second head. But I've tried it, and it works great. You just have to set it up. You just have to pay attention to what you're doing and set it up correctly. But it works great. So my suggestion is check out, if you're building your own machine from scratch, check out linuxhcl.org to make sure you get pieces that are known to work perfectly with Linux, and go from there. You're on your way.
Okay, and last question. How do you find a 64-bit video driver support?
I have a 64-bit system. The one I'm running at work is 64-bit system, and it works great. The only thing that doesn't work really well for me is flash.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And
well,
the reason for that is Adobe doesn't make a 32-bit, a 64-bit version of flash.
Yeah.
And probably never will for Linux.
Oh, well, here's the thing. When I'm reading about the Phenom 2 processors, they talk about how you don't have a penalty for running 32-bit applications. It apparently solves that slowdown problem that you were talking about in weeks past.
Right, context switching.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't paid attention to that, and I will look that up, the Phenom processors. I'll look it up.
Phenom 2 specifically, yes.
Well, stay tuned, and we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Huh. I'm sorry, I was just typing in Phenom 2 context switching. Pretty cool. It probably still does context switching, but does it really, really well. And so there will be a tiny little delay, but certainly not as much. And, of course, we're finding that's necessary anyway these days for all of that. Before we go to our next caller, let us just remind you one more time, probably not for the last time.
No, we got to keep reminding them.
Keep reminding them that next week we're doing a live on-site show from Lightspeed Computers in Penfield. The terrific folks at Lightspeed have graciously consented to let us invade their premises for a couple of hours next Saturday, and we'll be doing the show live from there. We're very delighted to be there. We don't know how they'll feel about it when we're done, but we're happy that we're going.
Hey, it gets us out of the office and gets me a chance to
off
take
the board.
Yeah.
You going to bring a laptop this time and participate in the... No, probably not. All right.
No. Let's go. Why? Why? I got a good gig going here.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
We're going to take...
It's my week off. And I'm going to take it.
Good for you.
I'll sit there and answer questions. I won't have to say, this is Joe from Rochester. This is Phil from Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. We don't want you to ever say that. I will say, however, that this is Don from Hilton. Welcome, Don. What's your question?
Well, I think I have something. The gentleman called about his problems with his Central.
Yeah.
I ran into something a little bit like that. First, I upgraded from the Centro to the Pre and found out that my Pre would not talk to my, wouldn't be recognized on my XP system. Then I tried to hook up my Centro to my system with the Windows 7 on it, and Windows 7 won't can see the Pre, but can't see the Central. And I spent some time with Palm, and they seem to indicate that there aren't any drivers for the Pre on XP.
Yeah, that would be that would have been my guess.
And they also seem to indicate there are no drivers for the Central on 7.
So, really? That's interesting, except possibly in the Bluetooth, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah, so I just thought, I mean, that's the answer. What I ended up having to do to get my data over to my 7 is to export the data and
then import it again.
Import it.
Yeah. The real problem is that when you mix old hardware with new operating systems or new hardware with old operating systems, there's an incompatibility there because Apple's simply not going... Or Apple. Hello, hi, how are you?
We miss Steve a lot.
We miss Steve. Palm is simply not going to go back and take brand new hardware that they make and make an XP driver for it. Microsoft has stopped supporting XP, and so they're not going to support it either.
So I just thought that I would feed that back.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you. I got around it all right. No.
Right. But you really do have to match new with new. You're right. You're absolutely right. Thanks, Don. That's great. That's exactly right. You know, we see it far too often that something that worked great for many years is no longer compatible with the new machine, and that's too bad. But time marches on, and we have to learn to live with that. I hate to say it, but it's true. It's very weird. You've got something that worked great for years. Then you do a simple upgrade to your operating system, and that hardware device simply no longer is functioning. All right, our next caller is Skip from West Henri. Welcome.
Hello there.
Welcome, Skip. What's your question?
You know what? You're getting this close.
I've got one nerd left, and you're on it.
And he wait a minute. Hold on, Skip. I got to run it around. He bitches at me because I don't.
I love you, Dave.
There's the law. He sits there and complains if I don't put down the names. I put down the names. I even put down that you were from West Henrietta, Skip. And what does he do? West Henri.
It was just, it amused me at that moment.
Okay.
I'm only here to amuse myself. The heck with all of right now.
There's a party going on in that brain?
There's something going on in that brain that I wasn't invited to. I'll tell you that right now. All right, Skip, what's your question?
Okay, I had a whole day of problems with a computer yesterday, and I solved a bunch of them, and then they just dumped me in some other ones.
Thank you for calling. Try again next week.
Now, I started out with a security suite thing that took over. I finally got that out, and then I couldn't play the games because the Java wasn't working, and I was trying to figure out how to get that working, which I finally figured out. Got out of that, tried Internet Explorer, and all of a sudden I was in Chrome, which I have no idea what to do with or how to handle it or anything.
All right,
and
listen, hold on.
Instructions anywhere how to get out
hold
of Chrome
on.
Or start it.
Skip, hold on. We got to take a break. We don't get a choice in these. Hold on, we'll come back to your question as soon as we get back on the other side of the break. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, Skip from West Henrietta, New York, and all of you. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we have Skip, who had security suite, Java problems, IE turning into Chrome. Listen, Skip, I got a quick question for you. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, now I have a second quick question for you, which is the security suite. That's malware, and how did you get rid of it?
Okay, I did a number of things, and I don't know which. Got rid of it totally. Started out with a super anti-spyware, which surprised me that it ran under the thing, but it did. Then I got in safe mode and got in the AVG baseline scan
mm-hmm.
for a couple hours.
Yep.
Malware bytes, rkill, and then I ran everything else I had also, just in general. But I think those were what killed it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay,
and
that's
somewhere
good.
In there, I guess malware bytes did
malware
a
bytes is the best.
Internet Explorer reset,
yep.
which is what killed the Java.
Right.
And then I don't know if that somehow initiated Chrome, and then something else. I was supposed to initialize Internet Explorer 8, which I thought was only for Windows 7.
No.
It'll run in XP.
No, it'll run in XP, but, again, we come back to the problem of XP. We're really kind of at the point where not a lot of support is going to be given to anybody who has XP. You can't call Microsoft and say, I have an IE suddenly turned into Chrome problem. And, oh, by the way, I'm running XP. They're not going to help you.
Well, I figured the Chrome problem was a Google problem and not a...
Well, what's likely happened is that somewhere in all that resetting, Chrome became the default browser.
No, I checked that under tools, Internet options. It came back.
Under programs?
From Google, it said just Google.com is the base.
Right.
But is there something else?
When you next ran, can you run Internet Explorer at all?
Yeah, somehow, I don't know how I got back to Internet Explorer. But
okay.
I was looking for Chrome instructions, how to start it or stop it or look at it or read something without being in it.
Well, if you don't want it, I think Chrome is a way better product than IE, but that's just me. If you don't want it, your best bet is to go into Add Remove Programs and remove it.
Well, at the time, I didn't even know how to get in Add Remove Programs. I didn't know how to get out of it. I didn't know how to turn the computer off. I didn't know how to do anything in it, and here it is, surprise, you're in it.
Right. No. Add Remove Programs is not Chrome. It's not in Chrome. It's part of Windows. If you hit the Start button and select Control Panel...
And now that I'm out of it, you're saying that guy...
Yeah. One of the choices is add remove programs. And okay. under there, you should see, I think it's listed as Google Chrome.
Yep.
They're in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
Just remove it.
Well, it might have been interesting, but at the time, because I didn't know
right.
how to do anything,
right.
and I couldn't find any instructions or any manual or anything that tells you what
right.
what to do, I got, you know, here I wanted to go to bed, and I couldn't even turn the computer off.
Right. But I would suggest that's where you need to, if you just want to get rid of it, that's what you need to do. If you're going to use it, very different. It's got a very minimal interface.
I'd still use GetRevo.
One of the things you should definitely do is install Revo Uninstaller and let it check your system. It'll find bad links. It'll find dead links in your registry and fix them.
Yeah, I've been using a registry checkup thing.
Well, try Revo Uninstaller because it's exceptional. Let me also suggest that before you do anything else, you back up all of your data.
My data is all backed up.
Okay.
I do it. This is backed up to a F drive instead of anywhere external. But
well, if the F drive is just a partition on your hard drive.
No, it's a separate drive.
Okay. That's
man.
Not so bad. That's
yep.
not so bad then. But I would definitely make sure everything is backed up and then run Revo Uninstaller and see what happens.
Okay. And the Internet Explorer 8, that's legitimate to use?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I will.
What's not legitimate to use anymore is XP. And I hate to say that because I know that people don't want to spend money for Windows 7 because it might also involve updating your hardware and everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah, I already failed the update.
Yeah, but the reality is that people just aren't going to be – we aren't going to be able to support XP anymore because we can't tell you where to find drivers because there won't be any.
Yep.
We can't tell you where to get products that run under it because there won't be any.
Well, it's just like some of the folks right now with Windows 98, and I've had a couple of machines come in with Windows 98 on it. And it's like, sorry, you're out in the limb. But they go, but the system still runs. Yes, it still runs, but you're going to get hacked every time you turn around and go on the Internet because there is no security out there that I can put on there to stop it.
Okay. Can
right.
I ask you one other quick question? Hopefully.
Very fast.
Okay. I have two licenses for Windows XP, and I have two computers.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow in the middle of some processes a year or two ago, both computers ended up on one of those signups, and the other signup is not being used.
You need to call Microsoft and explain this to them. They will help you fix that.
Okay, because I've got a third computer that I'm building now to put on stuff, and I'd just like
yeah.
to have Windows in there so I can upgrade it to 7 and all
right.
that kind of stuff
right.
eventually.
Right. You need to call them. They will help
call
you
Windows.
Fix that.
Okay, and their phone number is available somewhere on the...
Yep,
right on their website.
Yep.
On their website. Okay, thank you much.
Good luck. One of the things that often happens is that when you upgrade things in Windows, nowadays with the genuine advantage, they call it, which is doublespeak, but the idea is that you have to then reauthorize the thing. Our next caller is Bob from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question? Bob?
Try it now.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go.
I had to push the other button.
Push the button, Max. What's your question, Bob?
I got two quick questions.
Go for it.
Okay, number one, I have two computers at home, but my desktop is old, works still great. But I'm getting ready to get a new one. You know, I want to get an i7 chip. But I'm waiting for computers to come out from Dell or HP or whoever with USB 3. When are they going to have USB 3 in computers?
That's actually a lovely question.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, USB, right now you have USB 2 in most of the main machines. But USB 3 is just, is super speed. It's ridiculously fast. We're starting to see it come out in devices now. There are a couple of laptops, that have USB 3.0 out in them.
You think Christmas time?
That is my hope. Right,
but I won't guarantee it because, if anything, they're already right now starting to get into their Christmas mode
right.
of stocking stuff and everything else. So if you don't hear anything, say, by October,
yeah,
you know, I mean, chances are you're not going to hear it for this year because they're already, you know, I mean, Christmas stuff is already being done, and you know they're already gearing up for what they're going to be running for specials and everything else.
Now, one other thing that you should be aware of, you win because you're building a desktop.
Right, I want a desktop, right.
You will be able, even if you can't get it day one, you'll be able to put an add-in card with USB 3.0 on, for example, the PCIe interface.
Right, I won't need a new motherboard.
No, you can get, like right now, you can, even if you have USB 1, say on an old Windows XP machine, you can get a USB 2 card and put it in.
And as long as you're building a new machine with a new motherboard in it, the connectors will be PCIe, and they will then be fast enough, you could buy an add-in card with USB 3.0 on it.
Yeah, the reason, before I get to my last question, the reason I want it is that I am going to get a 1080p webcam, and USB 2 just can't handle the bandwidth.
Well, yes, and make sure that you have a USB 3.0 camera.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Now, the second question is, my older computer, I mean, I don't use my hard drives. I have a CD burner and then a CD DVD player, okay, and like the CABC, D and E drive. And for a number of months, the computer wouldn't recognize them. Now then they recognize them. Now I can't get the computer and everything that I do to recognize those two hard drives that I have on the computer. What's my problem, and where would you suggest
I
go?
The two hard drives or the two optical drives?
The two optical drives, sorry.
And this is an XP machine?
Running Windows XP Pro, right.
All right, then there's probably not a driver fix for it.
Yeah,
so the only thing I can see...
But they did work. I mean, I've had XP years.
Right, and then so my suggestion is that either the card they're connected to or the drives themselves...
Or Windows could be messed up when the updates had messed up.
Right, one of the updates changed the drivers. The problem is finding those original drivers again, and we go back to the XP problem we've been talking about.
So it's not worth it if I'm going to get a new desktop. Just
no,
leave it
no.
go.
Just yeah,
let it
live
go.
With it.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, I guess, I love you guys. I've been listening to you for years. I guess I'll have to, after listening to you today, buy a new laptop for my wife with Windows 7.
There you go. Now you're talking. Thanks, Bob.
We should do one more plug.
That's right. Don't forget, next week, I'm very excited about this. We're going to get out of the smoke-filled, flame-filled studio that we're in now.
But we got to give up our couch.
As it burns down around. The couch is in flames. In fact, the donuts are overcooked right now.
Oh, darn.
But next week, we will be at Lightspeed Computers in Penfield while they build a brand new palatial studio here. See, the good... Yeah, that's the good news. While they build actually the lights have been off for a while.
No firemen came running through to tell us to get the heck out.
Yeah, so clearly it was just a test, which is both good and bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Hey, we are still here. We still did a 2-hour show.
We did the 2-hour show. That's all.
No,
that's
notice
important.
Rob didn't come in to help support us.
I know. It's like, I don't care.
We could have been burning to the ground.
That's right. They don't even care.
Rob's still sitting home with his feet up.
He doesn't care.
You know,
as long as he's safe, he's happy.
He hears the show going on. Thinking, okay, if the guys go, you know.
Yeah, yeah. All right. But next week, we will not be in the studio. We will be on location. We will be at Lightspeed Computers in Penfield, and we're very excited about that. We love the folks at Lightspeed. They do great stuff. They make terrific computers, and we'll be doing a show from there. So we're very happy about that. It's going to be a fun, fun couple of hours. Absolutely. We're looking forward to insulting them as much as we insult Rob here. So that's an important part of what we do, and we're delighted to be able to do it somewhere else. So you folks at Lightspeed, gird your loins. We'll be there next week in the Penfield store to make your lives as miserable as I make Dave's life here. We're done for the week. We want to thank everybody who called in. We want to tell all of you who didn't call in, why not? What are you waiting for? You know where we are and why we're here. We'll be back next week. We're going to leave you in George's capable hands. And Linda, of course, who actually is running the thing. I mean, George is talking to Mike. What is that about? Back next week with Dave Enright. I'm Nick Francesco. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.